1,000 sketches in 1,000 days. Day 288. Sketch 536. Astronomers.
Okay, this is a sketch currently called Astronomer. We'll see if Alistair keeps that title. It features three astronomers.
Has Alistair been changing the titles of the sketch?
Yes.
Sketches. Most sketches, yes.
For release, yes. Yes, compared to the ones we write them under.
Because we name them often the punchline or something that gives it away.
Yes.
I'm guessing this one, the punchline is not Astronomer.
I've not read ahead, but I think we're probably okay.
Has there been an approval process for this? Have you just been playing fast and loose with the titles?
Sends them all around, doesn't he?
Oh,
yeah.
Read the emails, isn't it?
Which I don't.
Admittedly, the first time you did it, I did read them all, and then after that, I didn't. And then, I think there's only one where I think you've given the game away.
Maybe,
that's not bad,
maybe.
Out of 190 something.
Yeah.
Well, there are three astronomers in this. That can be Laura as astronomer, Terves as astronomer 2, and Rich as astronomer 3.
Very well.
I'm on it.
Oh, there's a typo in the first bit, but I've got it.
Wow.
Well spotted. You're
such a pro.
Such a pro. Esteemed delegates of the International Astronomy Union, let's not beat about the bush by doing any of the things people normally do at a scientific conference. Let's immediately talk about one single issue.
What is it?
I'm surprised you didn't notice it on the agenda.
Oh, sorry. I lost mine.
Never mind, I'll recap. The topic for discussion is periods of time in which a region of space experiences a high rate of star formation.
Great, I love them. What about them?
Whenever we talk about them, despite the awesome cosmological image they create and the wealth of learning they offer the scientific community, people think about chewy sweets.
Because we call them starbursts?
Obviously. Are you going to make me explain everything I say?
Sorry, I'm quite new. Anyway, I think I'm done now.
Good. So, what are we going to do?
How about we rename starbursts as opal fruits?
So when we refer to periods of time in which a region of space experiences a high rate of star formation, we say opal fruits.
Yes. I mean, it is, after all, actually the better name.
Indeed. Okay, that was a quick conference. Any other suggestions before the crazy golf?
I thought we could rename the Goddard high-resolution spectrograph housed in the Hubble Space Telescope as Sherbet Dip Dab, or we could refer to Etherington's reciprocity theorem defining the relationship of luminosity distance and angular diameter distance of astronomical objects as Euler of Euler. But I can't for the life of me decide which is better.
We could just rename Mars as Marathon.
Oh yes, that is more snappy.
Snickers was called Marathon in the UK and Ireland until 1990. Mars is also a planet.
Are you still here? Is it dip dab or dib dab?
I've always said dib dab.
Dip makes sense, doesn't it? Dip
it does.
Dab. But I thought it was dib dab.
Ditto. Well, sorry, dippo.
There you go. It is dip dab. You can tell by looking at the word.
Yeah, but I don't know that the person who's done it has more knowledge than me about dip slash dib dabs.
No, but when you said you've always thought it was dib dab, have you eaten one before?
Yeah.
Well, then that's why I'm surprised.
I mean, Richard, you know I won't have looked at the packet.
Well, then how did you know which one was a sherbet dip dab and not like a tin of Whiskers super?
Because Alistair had said here's a dib dab.
No, when in younger, when you ate them, how did you know which one to buy in the shop without looking at the
insignia? Because
it's
the yellow packet with the little red bit on it.
Absolutely. I'm on board.
I have no idea what these things are.
Oh, of course you didn't, because you were quaffing foie gras.
Quaffing? You liquidised it first.
What?
Pint of foie gras.
Foie gras by the pint.
What the fuck? Quaffing?
You can't quaff liquids.
Can you?
Quaff means to drink, basically.
Does it? Oh, okay. I just thought it meant, like, inhaling it.
Inhaling it.
Well, having it very quickly. But, I mean, I wouldn't put it past you to liquidise foie gras.
I've never liquidised foie gras. I've liquidised a sausage.
No, you haven't. The servants have done it for you.
Wait. Don't let that slide, Richard. I mean, what do you mean you liquidised a sausage?
What do you think?
Digestion.
you know gastric when I juices. Ask, what do you mean? I'm asking for more details about the event.
I liquidised the sausage, a partially cooked sausage.
Why? Why?
Because I was mixing it with ice cream and beer as a sort of beery, sausagey milkshake.
Were you ill?
I wasn't, although I should have been. No one had very much of it.
Reminds me a lot of, they're like little meaty lollies.
Yeah.
In the cold sketch.
I've also liquidised the chicken breast. I can't remember what it was. It a very odd recipe for a kind of chicken burger, which involved mincing the chicken breast, but I didn't have a mincer.
And instead of finely chop, you thought, I'll liquidise it.
Fuck it.
Why
whack
not?
It in the Kenwood.
And did you get like a raw pate?
They don't liquidise very well.
You surprise me.
It's what I'd say.
Well, that'd be the absence of liquid.
I mean, I put a bit of liquid in.
Oh, clever boy.
But that didn't make... That just made sort of chunks in brine, didn't it?
Yes.
It was just, can we not?
It was a broth.
I put a bit of olive oil or something in it.
Oh, that's better. It's like you're making mayonnaise, but at one remove.
Oh, same.
I didn't put mayonnaise in it.
No, but that's how you make mayonnaise, isn't it? Whisk up egg and oil. So you just thought, I'll just let the egg age for 5 years or so.
Yes.
Oh.
I'll tell you the problem with doing it. I'll tell you one of the problems with doing it. Is that the chicken gets thrown quite a distance. If you see what
Did you leave the lid? I had the lid on.
What I mean is, the chicken, it looks like it exploded. And it just sort of coated the outside of the thing.
Yeah.
I end up sort of scraping a lot of kind of... I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done it when it was raw, certainly.
And did you then still try and put it into a burger?
Yeah, it was my dinner. I mean, I had the chicken breast. What else was I going
to do? Why don't you just cook the chicken breast and put it in a bun?
I completely should have done that. You're absolutely rich. I appreciate my mistake now.
Well, two more things to add. One, I like that sketch. And two, sherbet fountain beats a dip dab any day.
What, with licorice in it? No, you're insane.
The lolly is too sweet to put into sherbet. No. It's redundant. It's not even worth having it there.
Alistair and
sherbet,
I both have a very sweet tooth.
The licorice, eating half a pound of sherbet, satisfies the sweet tooth, doesn't it?
Alistair, what's your opinion on this?
As a man who used to make his own sherbet, have you talked about this?
Sugar cube in the blender with a raw chicken.
Can you talk me through this process and how often were you doing it?
I was doing it fairly regularly back when I was sort of 14, 15. It's three parts icing sugar, one part bicarbonate of soda, one part citric acid.
Smashing this out?
Yeah.
What? I don't understand why.
Because I have a massively sweet tooth and I like sherbet. Plus it would give you the chance to experiment with other powders you can put in it. Cinnamon sherbet,
it's a lot cheaper
ginger sherbet.
Like
and it's reasonably cheap.
At 14, 15, this is what you were doing with your free time?
Yes. And,
different varieties of sherbet.
Not all of his free time.
Also occasionally putting more bicarbonate of soda in so that people could then, in the films I was making, have massive foaming mouths and things like that.
Can you have citric acid on its own or does it burn your tongue?
No, it's perfectly fine. It's just really lemony, basically, if you get it in powdered form.
Where were you buying it from?
Behind the counter in Boots at the time. Maybe
so
it
you had to go in and get like industrial quantities of citric acid to make sherbet.
It was only a small sort of 200 gram box.
This sounds awesome, and we should come round your house and you should make us some sherbet.
Yes, sherbet party.
Probably with a lettuce garnish.
Happy to give it a go.
Rich will want a fucking massive stick of licorice in it, though.
I'll bring my own licorice if that's required.
If I get a variety of bowls with various different sherbet flavours, then people can just sample them with...
How did you eat
one
the sherbet?
One of cocaine.
How did you eat the sherbet? Just like with a spoon, or did you dip something in it? It's making my mouth water.
Ooh, now you're asking. I can't really remember. I think quite a lot of the time it was just with a spoon.
I suspect you've eaten more sherbet than is actually strictly healthy.
I think you're probably right. 1,000 Sketches in 1,000 Days was written by the Albion Basement. It was performed by Laura Taylor, Alistair Turvitt, and Richard Catherall. It was produced by Alistair Turvitt. The music is by The Evenings. See you tomorrow.